The next two verses describe this Isha. Who is this Isha that we have to accept? Some very beautiful verses. This chanda or meter of this verse is Trishtu, or 44 syllables. That's chanda. Ane jade kam manaso jariyo nai nante avulam purnamarsha tadha vatamya nage tishta tasmin avo matarishwaradhati. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of God is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him, although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all excellence. So this is the beautiful Lord, full of contradictions. And in Krishna Lila there is an example of this. You may remember when Krishna went out of Mathura. Misha, you remember? Kalayavana.
Was trying to catch him.
Yeah, Krishna was just walking, not running, just walking. And Kalyana was running, and he couldn't catch him. Krishna was just walking slowly, and Kalyana was running, couldn't catch him. And here it is even say that he can be staying in one place, and still he's swifter than the demigods, and even swifter than the mind. So the demigods, devas, is oftentimes used as the name for senses, because the senses are controlled by the demigods. So you cannot catch the Lord with the senses. Sometimes people say, can you show me God? So do you have proper senses to catch him? And some people try to catch him with the mind, but even with the mind, if some Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita, if someone travels with the speed of the wind or the mind for thousands of years, still one cannot catch Krishna. But at the same time, he's always fixed in the same place. Prabhupada quotes, it's Goloka eva nivasate akilatma bhuta, from Brahma Samhita, that he's always fixed in Goloka, in one place. And actually, we know that the Cowherd boys, almost every day they would have this play, they would try to catch Krishna. Yes, and they would catch him, they would run to him, and they would say, aham purvam, I was the first to touch Krishna. So they would actually be able to catch Krishna, you know, run and get Krishna and touch him. So if somebody is qualified, then you can catch Krishna. But you have to be a special person. And although he is situated in one place, he controls everything. And he controls all the water. Still, we cannot blame him for too much rain and all the air. Acharya says that this verse states that we can approach him through Vayu. Because he is the incarnation of Vayu, so he is very partial. Because Matarishwa is mentioned here, which are the gods of wind. In other words, we can approach the Lord only through the devotees. Okay. So in this purport, Prabhupada speaks about, first he says that we cannot know him. Yeah? Then he speaks about his innumerable energies and three categories. What are the three categories of his energies? Internal, external, and marginal. So this material world is which energy? External. And we are which energy? Marginal. The spiritual world is internal. Okay, so through the energies he is present everywhere and they are unlimited. And again Prabhupada says that this fourth mantra of Shirish Upanishad very clearly suggests that the Absolute Truth is ultimately the Absolute Person. Otherwise there would have been no need to mention so many details in support of his personal features. And then again he uses this mantra to defeat Mayavadis, saying that the parts and parcels are never equal to the whole. Therefore they cannot appreciate the Lord's full potency. Therefore the demigods cannot catch Krishna. Yes? They cannot catch him because part is never equal to the whole. And then how do we learn? One should try to learn of the transcendence from the Lord Himself, the supreme source of the Vedas. And then after learning, every part and parcel of the complete whole is endowed with some particular energy to act according to the Lord's will. So we have to find our place to act according to His will. So, from the very beginning, Shirish Upanishad warns us to be very careful to play the part designated for us by the Lord. This does not mean that the individual soul has no initiative of his own. Again, this same point, responsibility. Yeah? That we do have initiative. And even when first we have to place ourselves, situate according to Krishna's will, and then again we have to act responsibly, showing some initiative. All power, Prabhupada gives the summary in the last paragraph. All power is obtained from the Lord. Can I ask Andre to read the last paragraph?
All power is obtained from the Lord. Therefore, each particular power must be centralized to execute the will of the Lord and not otherwise. The Lord can be known by how he has adopted Raksha's means of service attitude. Perfect knowledge means knowing the Lord in all his features. Knowing his potencies, knowing how these potencies work by his will. These letters are described as a loss in the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Bhagavad Gita.
Thank you. So again, don't forget to buy Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so this was mantra 4. And mantra 5 practically says the same thing. But a little differently. Tade jati tannai jati tandu leta vantike tarantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya syabharyata. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but He is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet He is outside of everything. Although Devushan says that to understand the Lord is difficult, therefore we have like a rerun of similar qualities. Something very similar. So again, it's very personal, because he can run, he can walk. So in this purport, Prabhupada speaks first about the inconceivable potencies, about contradictions. again, that this is the paradoxical language, very characteristic of the Upanishads. Yeah, contradictions again and again. Forces us to go higher, because it's materially doesn't make sense. He walks and he doesn't walk. How can he walk and not walk? One thing has to be there, either walking or not walking. It's according to the Aristotle logic. The third is excluded. Only two things are possible. No, either walking or not walking. How can he walks and not walks? Inside and outside.
But is he at the same time walking and not walking?
Same time.
Does he drive it? Is it the same
So how is it possible? So Prabhupada says, non-believers argue either that the Lord cannot incarnate himself at all, or that if he does, he descends in the form of material energy. These arguments are nullified if we accept the existence of the Lord's what? Achintya Shakti, yes. Inconceivable potencies. It's very important. It's very important to understand Krishna. Is to understand that you cannot understand him. Because if we try, if we don't accept this Achintya Shakti, if you don't accept that this is above material logic, if you don't accept that this is inconceivable materially, it means we will never be able, we don't understand even the first thing about it. We try to drag him down to our level. Yeah? As far as we are concerned, we can do only one thing at the same time, be inside or outside. But he can be both inside and outside at the same time. So unless we accept that he can do this, that he is able to do that, it means we do not accept that he is different from us. We don't accept that he is different from matter. Yeah, so that's the first step in understanding the Lord. Just like one devotee once said to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I cannot understand. What is this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva? How is this possible? That he is one and at the same time he is different. So Prabhupada said, you don't understand. He said, no, Srila Prabhupada, I don't understand. So he said, please try to understand that you don't understand. So understand this. First you have to understand that you don't understand. That's a very big step to knowing Krishna. Understanding that we don't understand. Yeah? Understanding that he is above the material logic, he is above matter. That's already a big step in understanding. Then we understand that, we can hopefully practice yoga, practice sadhana, and maybe bring our consciousness higher. And when we bring our consciousness higher, then we will understand how it is possible at the same time. These inconceivable things. That's the whole purpose of these Upanishads, to bring us higher, to bring us to understanding the Lord. And then next time, you have difficulty. Usually for us, difficulty means some conflict of two incompatible things. We want to do one thing and we want to do another thing. Like, we want to, like, if, I don't know, the simplest example, we want to sleep, but at the same time, because we feel sleepy, at the same time, we want to come to the, we know that we have to come to the program. It's a conflict, yes? But there may, it's just a simple thing, you know what to do in this case. But there may be more difficult cases when we have to cooperate. But to cooperate means, in some particular case, to do some big concessions from our side. And we don't want to give, to make these concessions, yes? To compromise, we don't want to compromise. So again, there is a conflict. Or there may be some danger, which again, we have to be somewhere, and being somewhere puts us in a very unpleasant position. Meeting somebody, or, I mean, usually all the problems in this life are this conflict of two interests. So, just to give you a practical hint, we can meditate on Krishna, how he can reconcile two opposite things at the same time in his personality. If we meditate, we can meditate on some lila, how he can reconcile two opposite things, two opposite interests, and achieve his ends. Like when he entered Mithila, there were the king and the brahmana Shrutadeva. King was, I forgot his name, and Shrutadeva was the brahmana. They invited him the same instant, and he had to go both places. So what did he do? Whom did he choose? Both. Yes, he just went simultaneously to the two different places. And all the rishis also, by his power, they split into two, and one batch went there, the other batch went there. So for Krishna there is nothing impossible. So if we are faced with having to do something impossible, we think it's impossible, we can just meditate on the master of all impossible solutions. And what example Prabhupada gives here in this purport? Archa Vigraha. Is this in this purport or is it in the next purport? Yeah, it's here. It's here. Archa Vigraha. Again, Krishna is incarnating here. So, I gave the basic theme to this section that Krishna can do anything. Krishna can be both personal and impersonal. And he reciprocates according to the next section, Prabhupada says, he reciprocates according to how a person surrenders to him. And he gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Also in this paragraph, Prabhupada says that Mayavadis, they accept only one side of Krishna, impersonal. Yeah? But the Bhagavata school or the devotees, they also accept this impersonal. They also say, yes, he is one with everything. He has impersonal feature. But besides that, he also is a person. Yeah, so we have a higher understanding which includes both. We don't reject what the impersonalists say. Yes, he's impersonal. But yes, he's also personal. Both things are there. So certainly, Bhagavata school is superior. Also, Prabhupada gives the example of the fire, which is one with heat and light and at the same time different. Any questions? Four.
Does the different energies of the world are present everywhere through its different potencies? What is the difference between energies and potencies?
They're both
energies, different kinds of energies.
Just that there are three main categories and there are unlimited subcategories. So when he speaks about potency, it must mean his three main categories. Yes. And when he speaks about energies, probably means unlimited sub-potencies. Any other questions? So maybe we can make a research. We can divide into 1, 2, 3, 4 groups. Okay? This would be one group, this would be second group, that would be the third group, and this would be the fourth group. Yeah? Okay? And try to collect as many features. Actually, we can do like this. That these two groups collect as many features of Krishna as possible from the last two verses, 4 and 5. Qualities of Krishna that are mentioned. And these two groups, you can collect arguments against Mayavadis, also in these two verses and purports, as many as possible. Okay, so you have 6 minutes.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you.
So, how many qualities of Krishna could you find? How many? 11. Okay, and you? And how many arguments against Mayava do you have here?
Six.
Okay. How many do you have here?
Nine.
Okay. So, why don't we hear your qualities that you have here?
He sits and he's the bone.
Okay.
So he has a bone. He's not homeless.
He's swifter than the mind.
He's swifter than the mind.
He can overcome all others
running. He runs very fast.
He's not approachable for powerful demigods.
Yeah, even demigods can catch him. And we mentioned that it means also, devas means also what?
Even that is sensitive. In one place, he throws those who surprise the air and rain.
From one place, he throws everything.
He surpasses all in excellence.
In all what?
Surpasses.
Oh, surpasses everybody in excellence. He's super excellent.
Then he walks and doesn't walk.
He walks.
He doesn't walk.
He can walk.
He's far away.
Actually, Madhvacharya, this adjective, anekam adjective, so the word that adjective and adjective translates as fearing. He's saying that he is not afraid of anything and he scares others. So everybody else is afraid of him. Yeah? In other words, they are subordinate to him. Okay, next.
He walks and then he's far away.
He's very far.
That's not the good news. There's nothing. He's very near as well.
Oh, this is super. He's very near. Okay. He's very, very far.
He's in everything. He's in everything.
He's very far. He's so far that he isn't beyond space. So if you take the whole infinite space, he's even farther. Just like Hiranyakashipu was trying to find him, and he, of course, he searched only one universe, and even if he searched all the universes, it's not possible to find him. And then he claimed, Vishnu, he said, this Vishnu, he became afraid of me, therefore he hid in everybody's heart. So I cannot find him. But actually, he's beyond space, that's why he's so far. And no demons, no atheists. This, when the Rabin went to Cosmos in 1961, the first thing that he said, I didn't see God. So you think, gosh, he went to Cosmos, yeah, he didn't see God. But if you take, for example, the circumference of Earth as this, you say that this is Earth, then the height on which Gagarin went is this, the width of the river. That's how far he went, that's the cosmos he went. So those cosmonauts, astronauts, that space, outer space they're going to, if this is Earth, so this is the outer space they go to. That's his. That's cosmos. They go to. Going so far, they couldn't see God. But even if they went much farther, even if they went to the end of the universe, the end of all the universe, still he's there. But for the devotees, as in the third canto it is explained, the Lord is so merciful, he hides in a box, he agrees to be in a box, a deity box, as Shalagram Shila or Deishka, and he's in the heart. Okay, so this is some of the qualities, and
you have
everything.
Huh? There's some more. You've seen everything in this canto.
Oh, where is it, everything?
He's outside of everything.
He's also outside of everything. Yeah, Prabhupada explains that he is inside as Antaryami Paramatma and outside as Vigarat, the universal form. Okay, what qualities do you have that were not named?
He's always in
Goloka Vrindavan. Okay, so you know about Goloka Vrindavan.
He's faster than the mind, you
said? Yes, we got it.
He's
simultaneously in different places.
So, and he's doing more things at the same time. He has his pastimes and he performs everything at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes, Vishwanathi Pratitagur discusses this. Because you sometimes think that, how can Krishna hear my prayers? He's so busy playing with the gopis, rasa lila and everything. So, how can he hear my prayers? Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that for Krishna there is no problem. Because he is simultaneously muktatma, completely absorbed, completely charmed by the pastimes, and sarvagya, all-knowing, at the same time. So, although he is completely absorbed, he hears everybody's prayers. And he also can, you know, control the universes, create everything. It's not like, you know, he's dancing with the gopis and then, oh, sorry, Chandrabali, I have to go create two universes or come back in 7 years. It's not like that. He doesn't have to go away from his rasa dances.
He appeared at his will in any form and in any circumstances, like Arjuna.
Yes, he can, because he is so powerful, because he can accommodate all the contradictions, he can appear in any form, and he can appear as Arjuna, because we need this form to see. And today we had Mahaprasad from Sakshi Gopal. You know, you all know this story how one devotee had to have a witness. So he went to Vrindavan and he started praying to Sakshi Gopal.
and Sakshi Gopal. He was not Sakshi Gopal yet, he was just Gopal at that time. And he was praying and praying, and then Gopal told him, okay, so you go back, and when you speak, I will also speak and I will confirm your words. So he said, oh, those people are so bad, they will not believe. You have to come personally. So Gopal said, come on, what are you talking about? Where have you seen deities walking? No, deities don't walk. So this devotee said, but they don't also talk. And you are talking. So if you can talk, you can also walk. So then, you know the story how he walked all the way from Vrindavan to south, all the way across India, to bear witness to. So he is all powerful, he does so many things. Archarita is not an idol.
Is the source of all power?
Source of all power.
Every building comes from him?
Every building comes from him.
He subjects me different and not different.
Sometimes it's different and not different.
He's about the three modes?
About the three modes.
He has inconceivable powers.
He has inconceivable powers.
So he's a chinta and his powers are chinta. Yes. His person and impersonal at the same time.
His personal and impersonal. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so these were some wonderful qualities of Krishna that we read about here. And what arguments against Mayavad do we have? What arguments do you have?
He's walking and not walking. That means that he has some form.
He has some form, yeah. If he can walk, means he must have some legs. Huh?
He lives in the place.
He what?
He lives in his place.
Oh, there is a place where he lives.
Part is never equal to the whole.
Part is never equal to the whole.
He cannot be caught by minor senses.
He cannot be caught by minor senses.
He can only be known by his devotees through his mercy.
Can be known by his devotees through his mercy. Yes.
They said that he is without qualities, this is also a quality.
Yes.
Being qualityless is also a quality. So contradictory. You can read it in Slovenian.
No, we wrote something and then we found it better in
Oh.
He is the eternal form, the eternal world. His impersonal aspect or grand intelligence is but the goal of his personal rays, just as the sun's rays are the goal of the sun.
Yeah, the personal form is there, but it's his effulgence of his body. Yeah, that explains what it is. Okay, thank you. What are your arguments? Do you have some arguments that were not?
Okay. Brahma Samhita said that God is a person, he has his own abode. Mm-hmm. His energies are like separate.
Yeah, he has energies.
He has energies.
Yeah, Mayavad is they deny that Brahman, absolute truth, has energies. And actually, understanding that he has energies reconciles so many problems. Because if we say that this world is produced from the Lord, it means that he is changed and the Lord is changed. And they say that Brahman cannot be changed. But if we accept that he has energies, and it is understood that he is unchanged, but his energies are transformed. So this is another name for our philosophy of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, or inconceivable oneness and difference, which is Shakti Parinamavad, transformation of energies. Shakti Parinama, transformation. And these energies are simultaneously one and different.
Okay. You mentioned these examples with fire.
Fire.
Same example, but just
yes.
Another example. And then demigods are different from the Lord?
Demigods are different from the Lord, yes.
Energies and the Lord are different.
Energies and the Lord are different.
So, I think this is a person. And Jiva is never equal to the Lord.
Jiva is never equal to the Lord. How do we know? Where is it say? Yeah, but from here. From
here it says. Or
this is what we have to prove, but how do we prove it? That Jiva is not equal to the Lord.
You can see the qualities are there, the same, mm-hmm. the Lord, but Jiva is fallible.
Fallible.
The Lord is.
Yeah, actually.
It was not, Achyuta.
Yeah, Acharyas actually explained that Tishtan means that he never departs from his nature, that he never loses his nature. Meaning, being fixed means that he never loses his nature. Okay. Whereas we have lost our spiritual position. Okay.
That the bhakti is the process. Shri Prabhupada says submissive service attitudes. Mm-hmm. It's the bhakti, it's the process, not jnana. Then that personal and impersonal is they are both features of the mm-hmm. It's not only impersonal. And God is not mortal being.
Not mortal.
Yeah. He's he has eternal form. And then Archa, Vigraha is spiritual.
How do we know that he is in eternal form?
It's said in Brahma Smriti, Sachit Anand.
Mm-hmm. And do we have something here about him having. Can say that no, he is outside of everything material. Yeah, he's outside of everything material. And then again, this Tishtan, Tishtat, Tishtat, Tadhavatanyan Atyeti. He excels. He surpasses everybody. Okay.
Then there is a description of Nirguna and Sanguna.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, my brothers are saying only Nirguna. Or even Sanguna is material.
Mm-hmm.
But our philosophy is he has both, and Sanguna is spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, otherwise,
he's not absolute.
He's not absolute. And Shankaracharya would say that whenever we speak about qualities, it's this Saguna Brahman, which is just for the purpose of purifying us. It's not really absolute, it's not really Brahman, but we become purified. But how can you be purified meditating on something that's not transcendental, something that's not pure? And also Vedanta Sutra says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, the first sutra, we have to know the absolute truth now that we are in a human form life. And the very next sutra says, Janmad Yasayata, from whom everything is produced, by whom everything is maintained, and by whom everything is annihilated. So the description is of a person who produces, maintains, annihilates. So this is the very next shloka says who we have to know. So according to Shankaracharya, you have to immediately reject this shloka. Say no, it's this just conventional understanding of God. It's not this absolute Brahman. But then you have to reject everything immediately. Okay.
And that Brahman is subordinate. The Lord is never controlled by his energies. There, we discover.
Yes, one energy can influence another energy, but the master of the energies is not influenced by the energies themselves. Yeah? Okay, that's it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And there's also one other argument that we forgot to mention, that Krishna manifests to the person according to his desire of greed, really.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. If they don't realize Krishna, it doesn't mean that nobody can realize Krishna. If they don't see the personal form of Krishna, it may only mean that they themselves are rascals. So if they are rascals and they cannot see the supreme form, it doesn't mean that it does not exist. Somebody is a criminal and cannot see the king, it doesn't mean that the king does not exist. You just have to be qualified to see him. Okay. Thank you very much. And now we can have a break of six minutes. And we'll try to continue after the break.
Sometimes the devotee, instead of that we achieve the position of next life, like with some good family, or sometimes the Lord put him in difficulty. In the next life he is born with bad family, bad situation and difficulties to remove his enjoying spirit.
Is it?
I read somewhere, but I'm not sure where was that. It's correct, the karma from the
time. It's not really like that. In one place, Prabhupada says that if he was very sinful, he became a devotee and he neglected his duties and everything, that even if he may be born in some not very pleasant circumstances, still he will be given a chance to continue. In other words, still we have to, even if we do get birth in a good family, still we have our karma, because we have committed some...
I'm just considering our situation, because we are born in quite difficult
Yes, but still you got the chance.
Yes, got the chance.
And usually, I think it's very rare that devotees ever have to be hungry or deprived or something. Usually the devotees were always hungry.
At least not for a long time, sometimes, for sure. Since small work and the economics and the other things we have.
Say this one month. Say
Subway after dying their dhotis because they had hands red, and the police just before that they were trying to catch some people who were falsifying the dollar notes, and they forgot the whole story, but somehow there were those dollar notes with some special color that as soon when the people would touch it, nothing would happen, but when they would wash their hands, they would become red. So they caught devotees and going in the subway with their red hands. They took them to the police station and they had a hard time explaining. They were just dying their dhotis. The whole story. Do you know this joke about the son? About also about police. Father had a son in jail, so he was corresponding with him, and the son asked him, it's already springtime, how are you doing this year? So the father said, I'm doing okay, but unfortunately I'm getting old and I cannot prepare the garden for the crops. I'm too old and I cannot really dig up the garden. So then the next day the son sends him a telegram. Don't dig the garden. That's where the bodies are. So the very after this telegram comes, the very next day, there are four cars with policemen with the spades. And they dig up the whole garden. They dig up the whole garden. On the next day, the telegram comes from the jail, says, that's the best I could do, Daddy. I hope your garden is ready now.
Last order.
there is a way out in this, in any situation. So the next two mantras describe the result of knowing this wonderful person, who is a person, as we had so many arguments about, and who is really wonderful. We counted so many qualities that he has. So let us chant these two verses. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani anupasyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsate yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord,
who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being.
Never hates anything. So verse 6 describes that there is no hatred. And mantra 7, one who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with another becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Tatra ko moha ka soka. So he becomes free from moha, illusion, and shoka, anxiety. He becomes free from three things mentioned here. And these descriptions are actually descriptions of vision of love. Whenever prema is described, it's this type of description, that you see Lord in everything, and you see everything and everybody in the Lord. So this is Mahabhagavata, as Prabhupada explains here. In the purpose, says, this is a description of the Mahabhagavata, the great personality who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada says that the Supreme Lord's presence is realized in three stages. In three stages. So what are the three stages? Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama Adhikaris. Yeah? And what are the characteristics of the Kanishta Adhikaris?
His worshiping.
So, in other words, how does he realize the Lord's presence? Only in the place of worship, or in the temple, only on the altar. Okay, and nowhere else. Okay, what else? Huh? Yes, okay. But what other qualities does he have?
Or he cannot set
Yeah, he cannot recognize others' situation in devotional service. And what else?
They are following technical rules.
And what does it lead to?
They think that one way is better than the other.
And what does it bring about?
Huh? Some arguments.
Quarrels. Yes. Prabhupada says, such devotees follow the routine formulas and sometimes quarrel among themselves. So that's the problem for Kanishta Adhikari. That if you are Kanishtas, we will quarrel. because we will think mine is better, my type of devotional service is better than yours. So we cannot see the essence of bhakti, therefore we cannot recognize who is doing bhakti sincerely and who is not doing bhakti sincerely. So therefore we will have to quarrel if we are in that level. And the only place where we can recognize that, okay, the Lord is there, is just maybe on the altar, not in other people's hearts. And Madhyam Adhikaris, what distinctions do they see? What four categories do they see? The Lord, devotees, innocent, and atheists. Yes. And they manifest four kinds of attitudes. So what are the four attitudes they manifest? Love. Then for the devotees, friendship. Friendship. Yes.
Mercy to the innocent.
And they just avoid, neglect. They're indifferent to the atheists. Okay. And Uttamadhikari?
Sees everything connected with the Lord.
He's not discriminating.
Yeah, he's not discriminating. He sees only spirit. So basically, only Madhyam Adhikaris can preach. Because Kanishthas, they see everything as matter, and Uttamas, they see everything as spirit. So both of them have a hard time preaching.
Similar symptoms.
Yeah, well, you can do something. And if... So Prabhupada describes how Uttamadhikari sees a dog and a brahmana, in a brahmana, the spirit soul. So he tries to do good to both. Doesn't mean that he embraces the dog and kicks the brahmana. Yeah, being equal. How to be equal, yes? But he tries to do good to both, meaning that to a dog he may give some prasadam, and brahmana he may speak to him, give a donation or something, or obeisances. Then Prabhupada says that there are those who imitate Uttamadhikaris by flaunting a sense of oneness or fellowship, but who behave on the bodily platform, are actually false philanthropists. So you can see, especially nowadays, you can see so many people following New Age who try to also practice some kind of, we're all one, everything is one, we have to be kind to each other.
Everything is hard.
Yeah. And
everything is spirit.
Everything is spirit. Yes, whatever you're doing, if you're eating sausage, drinking beer, it's also spirit.
Energy is love.
So
God is love. God is energy.
Yeah. So that's the danger. That's the danger. If they follow some concocted ideas of oneness, then indeed they may contaminate themselves. And even if they don't contaminate themselves, it is still on the material platform. They do not really perceive the spirit.
So is there some strong argument against this? Spirit and
so,
on the level of...
That's what Prabhupada explains. The conception of universal brotherhood must be learned from an Uttamadhikari, and not from a foolish person who does not properly understand the individual soul or the Supreme Lord's super soul expansion who dwells everywhere. So in other words, Uttamadhikari sees he's the super soul and the soul, whereas those New Age people, they don't see either the soul or the super soul. And without seeing, they do not really understand what this person needs, this person or that person needs, and what this person, what these people really are. And even though it might be useful, yes, it's sattvic vision. Seeing everything as one is sattvic, according to the Bhagavad Gita. But because they imitate, as you mentioned, they can become contaminated. Yes, they can become easily contaminated and fall down from whatever position they may have. And one important word here is systematically cease. Prabhupada says anupashati. So anu means to follow. Yeah, so he pashyati anu. He sees following the proper source. So if he's following the acharyas, he's following the shastra. This is shastra chakshu. Yeah? He can see through the eyes of shastra. Anu pashyati. And so he's following the cyclic succession. So therefore, he serves everybody as the spirit soul, in the last paragraph Prabhupada explains. Because New Age people, even though they may pretend to see the brotherhood, they usually can serve each other or whoever only as the body. Yeah, and you have all kinds of weird sex practices among these New Age people, which is strange, yeah. Because if they are, if we are not the body, why this oneness is have to be only on, this, on the platform of the body? Yes. If they have, if they really see the true oneness, because as the bodies we are not one. As the bodies we are not one. As the minds we are not one. As the intelligence we are not one. We are different. We are one only as the spirit. That's how we are one. And Prabhupada says that one who imitates the symptoms of an uttamadhikari may serve another's outward body for the purpose of fame or material reward, but he does not serve the spirit soul. Such an imitator can have no information of the spiritual world. The uttamadhikari sees the spirit soul within the material body and serves him as spirit. Thus the material aspect is automatically served. So he, Uttamadhikari can serve both, but he begins with the spirit because he sees the root, the cause of all the problems, the spirit. And by correcting the spiritual side, he can correct everything. Whereas imitators, they can try to, they pretend to have some love on the platform of the body or the mind, or prana, or intelligence, or some other platform, which is good, but it's not the uttama vision described in this verse.
And also that they are not able, to show the same also.
Yes.
He's not disturbed in all circumstances.
Yes. Just like, you know, he doesn't hate, and no illusion and no anxiety. These things. Yeah, it may be temporary. So how do we...
Yeah, here. Or one who sees constantly like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Always sees. So how do we practice this anupashyati? In both the verses it is used anu means systematically sees or sees through the eyes of Shastra. How do we see this oneness through the eyes of Shastra?
Maybe our goal is the same as Krishna.
Okay, so you're explaining why is it one. But how do we practice, you know? Uh-huh. I'm going to the window and
there are two guys standing there.
How on earth? I only see them as one. There's somebody else walking down there. How can I see them all as one?
With Krishna, means
Krishna. They don't
look
like Krishna.
The eyes. Huh? The eyes.
Eyes of knowledge. Maybe Abhinav Brahma then.
They walked past Krishna.
Все служба Кришну. Кришна, посреди на море, посреди нас.
Окей.
The truck, so he's serving the truck very indirectly.
We are not trying to imitate Uttama Madhikari. We try to act on Madhya Madhikari level and with eyes of knowledge try to understand in their spirit soul and try to connect with Krishna.
Yes, by?
By giving them spiritual.
Yeah, preaching. That's how we practice. That's our main practice of seeing oneness. We see everybody as spirit soul, means we give everybody a chance. Means we accept, yes, you are a soul. So you have a chance. You can change. You're not a piece of wood. You're not just a stone which cannot change. You're a soul, you can change. You can come to Krishna. And also, even in the society of devotees, we give others a chance. We understand, they are not a stone. this devotee, horrible devotee with whom I cannot live, who has so many bad qualities, he's also a soul. He can also change, he can also advance. And we have to see this potential in him. We have to give him a chance. We have to help him. Yes. If he is equal to us, we don't try to pretend we are higher and boast in front of him. If he is junior, less developed, we try to show compassion and help him. Not scoring, you are really neophyte. Try to, okay, so I'm neophyte, so give me this spiritual knowledge. And if somebody is senior, we don't envy them, or we sometimes tolerate that they engage us in some service, and we are happy to associate with somebody who is senior. If you just do these three things properly with three levels of people, Narada Muni assures us that we can become free from all the suffering in this world. Threefold suffering is no longer existent if we follow proper interactions with senior, equal and junior. So for that we have to understand that they are also spirit souls. Okay. So this mantra 6 is which goal primarily for us? Which of the 12 aims? Twelve aims of Shastric study.
Shastra Chakshu.
Shastra Chakshu is there, okay. Faith and conviction. Faith and conviction. What else?
Theological application.
Theological application, okay. There is the levels of development in spiritual life. What other application is there? To whom? And preaching to ourselves is called personal education. Yes. I find it very interesting. We have two pairs of mantras which are very similar. 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. And I find that in these two mantras which are similar, the first mantra, mantra 4 and mantra 6, are mostly for personal application. That's how we have to behave, determining our level, and in mantra 4 we have understanding that we have initiative, taking our proper position, accepting Krishna's will, is personal application. And the next in this, the second mantra in each pair is more preaching application. In that second mantra, Prabhupada, in 5, Prabhupada speaks against Mayavadis and against those who deride Krishna. And in mantra 7, also Srila Prabhupada speaks about improper understanding of oneness, also against Mayavadis. Very interesting. Because both mantras are very similar. Both describe oneness, vision of oneness. So first, in the first mantra, Prabhupada describes 3 categories. So you have to take a proper category, act accordingly, yes, try to practice the vision of the Madhyam, action of the Madhyamadhikari. And in the next one, Prabhupada describes what is this oneness. And he gives several explanations of this oneness. Actually says, very interesting, says, except for the Madhyamadhikari and Uttamadhikari discussed above, no one can correctly see the spiritual position of a living being. And then we have all this theological explanation. So in what ways Prabhupada explains oneness here? Yes? How Prabhupada explains oneness? He gives like three or four explanations of this oneness. What means oneness? Because ekatam anupashyata, he sees ekatam, he sees oneness. So how Prabhupada explains this oneness? Yes?
In
7th, yes.
There are percentage.
So qualities. Okay, so oneness in quality, not in quantity. You can write it down somewhere.
Okay, what else?
So quality, not quantity.
There is a point that since living at peace are all members of the Supreme Family, their interests and that of the Supreme Being are not different. Right?
Very good. Yes. So oneness of interest. Or like family, Prabhupada gives the example. Examples Prabhupada gives for this quality, not quantity?
The ocean?
Yes, drop an ocean. Drop an ocean. Same in quality, one in quality, different in quantity. And one interest, it's like in one family. And he gives a preaching argument. Yes?
Just one more.
He gives a preaching argument that if the individual living being were equal to the Supreme Lord, both qualitatively and quantitatively, there would be no question of his being under the influence of material energy. If you were huge as God, how would you come under this tiny material energy? What kind of God would you be? How is it possible? And in the previous mantras, it has been already discussed that no living being, not even the powerful demigods, can surpass the Supreme Being in any respect. Therefore, ekatvam does not mean that the living being is equal in all respects to the Lord. So, two preaching arguments. How would you be if you were equal in all respects to the Lord? How would you be under the material energy? It's a very powerful argument against Mayavada. And then, again, that not even the powerful demigods can surpass the Supreme Lord. So living entity is never equal. Okay, you have?
And they are one on this spiritual platform, that is eternal happiness.
Where is this here?
The spiritual and next. That they are meant for enjoyment, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra.
Yes, okay, okay. This is really far off. One in pleasure. Actually, Prabhupada gives this example. He says that a man and a woman, they both enjoy sex. It's not that only one is enjoying and the other is not. Of course, many things happen, but ideally, as it is with living entity and the Lord, it's not that the Lord is just exploiting the living entity. It's a shared pleasure, shared enjoyment. And there is one more explanation here of oneness, I find, in this first section on oneness. What kind of oneness is this?
Maybe the first section of the
purpose. First section of the purpose, yes. Yes? Yeah, just one as energy, energetic, or fire and heat. So that's how Prabhupada, in this first part, Prabhupada explains oneness. What is this oneness? What is the proper understanding of oneness? Because, you know, Mayavadi see. Read this and say, look, you see, ekatvam, we are one. Everything is one. The person in knowledge sees everything is one. The Upanishads confirm what we say. But, okay, but we have to understand what kind of oneness is this. It cannot be oneness in all respects, because just the previous mantra say that the powerful demigods can never even touch the Lord. So how can they be one? There's some difference. Yes, and then the next section, Krishna Prabhupada tells us that we should be happy. It's our right. We have the right to be happy. But we look for happiness on the wrong platform, Prabhupada says. And therefore there is clash of interest. But when we have one center, there is no clash of interest. And it's nirguna, above the modes. And we can be really happy. Moreover, Prabhupada invites us where? Rasa dance. Isn't it amazing? Srila Prabhupada invites us to the rasa dance. And rasa dance, yes, again, if in rasa dance there were millions of gopis But because there was one center, Krishna, therefore all the religions of gopis are just around Krishna and there is no clash, except for Krishna's pleasure. But when we have a difference, when each of us take us as the center, then it will be so much, so many clashes, there will be so much conflict. So Prabhupada says, here in the material world, there is always a clash between different individual beings, because here the proper center of enjoyment is missed. The real center of enjoyment is the Supreme Lord, who is the center of the sublime and spiritual rasa dance. We are all meant to join Him and enjoy life with one transcendental interest and without any clash. That is the highest platform of spiritual interest. And as soon as one realizes this perfect form of oneness, there can be no question of delusion, moha, or lamentation. Isn't that beautiful? So Prabhupada reveals his mood. Every time Prabhupada speaks about Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, he speaks about rasa dance. Srila Prabhupada is a bridge bhasi, yes? Even he's taking an Upanishad and he brings it to the highest goal. And it's correct, because Upanishads themselves were trying to enter the rasa dance. That's their goal too. It is correct, it's the final, the ultimate goal. So he described first oneness, then that we can achieve happiness in proper oneness, and then he describes what if we don't find this proper center. What happens if we don't find this proper center? So what happens if you don't find this proper center?
Lamentation.
Illusion. And
anxiety.
Yes. Shock and moha. If we find the center, then no illusion and no anxiety. Shoka, katatra, komoha, ka shoka. No illusion and no anxiety. But if we don't accept this center, no, don't find this oneness, perfect oneness, then there is moha, illusion, and shoka, distress. So first moha, because we think this is mine, this I have to do, I'm the creator of this. We become attached. Mahamoha. We become attached. And because we become attached, in shoka. Yes. So there is one fourth thing, bhaya, fear. Shoka, moha, bhaya, which are removed by this knowledge. So, moha is about present illusion. Shoka is about past anxiety and lamentation, and bhaya is about future fear of what may happen. So if you don't, and this refers also to us. This can refer also to us. Because Maya is so powerful that the very same thing that we are given to become free from Maya, Maya uses to make us more bound. The very same thing. I realized this when we were trying to produce books, and as we were producing these books, then some conflict arose, and I was suffering so much at that time. So I was wondering, isn't this service? Why should I suffer in my service so much? It's service, it's for Krishna. Yeah, there should be no shoka, no moha, oneness of interest. And so why am I suffering? It's supposed to be devotional service. So, transcendental. But the problem is that I became attached. I wanted to translate the way I thought it is correct. I want it to be done the way I thought. I thought I'm doing this, first of all. And I wanted to have it done exactly the way I thought it has to be done. And therefore, when somebody interfered and wanted to make it a little differently, I thought, no, no, it has to be the way I want to to have it done. There was a conflict of interest. And I forgot that this is done to please Krishna. Yeah? So therefore, all the results belong to him already. Yes, it's not that I produce the fruit. Yes, I have, this fruit is mine, and then I take this, my fruit, and okay, I give it to Krishna. No, it's supposed to be his already. Yes, if I acted in this proper understanding of oneness and Krishna, then I would know it's already his. So he may manifest it or he may not manifest it. But it's already his. So if I acted like this, there would be no anxiety. But because I was attached to the doership, to the fruit, to the so many things, therefore clash of interest. And so these shlokas are always relevant to us because they describe, you know, Uttama Bhagavata, yes? So until we are there, we need to be reminded of these things. How to practice seeing oneness properly on our level, and how to work on those things that impede our progress. So attachment, you know, gridha, we think that this is mine, and we want to do things as we want. And then Prabhupada, and so how is it possible to attain this? The results of our activities must be used to serve the interest of the Lord, not for any other purpose. So Prabhupada again describes the gradual path of elevation. And attaining the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Says, if the children obey the father's will, family affairs will run smoothly with one interest and the pleasing atmosphere. The same situation is transcendentally arranged in the absolute family of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Spirit. So we are meant to enter the big family of Parabrahman. It's like a big clan, a big, very big family. It's not like a mafia clan, not like a mafia family, although sometimes it's similar. You know, the beauty of being a Hare Krishna, that any place in the world you go, there are some devotees there. There is some family there. Yes. Some family. You can go. Same temple, same deities, similar philosophy. One family. And then Prabhupada summarizes. The Parabrahman is as much a person as the individual entities. Neither the Lord nor the living entities are impersonal. Such transcendental personalities are full of transcendental bliss, knowledge, and life eternal. That is the real position of spiritual existence. And as soon as one is fully cognizant of this transcendental position, he at once surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Being, Sri Krishna. But such a Mahatma or great soul is very rarely seen, because such transcendental realization is achieved only after many births. Once it is attained, however, there is no longer any illusion or lamentation, or the miseries of material existence, or birth and death, which are all experienced in our present life. That is the information we get from this mantra of Sri Ishopanishad. Isn't it beautiful? This is the vision of a person truly renounced, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The whole earth is one family. Vasudha is the earth, Eva, certainly Kutumbakam. Kutumba means family, it's one family. And we are joining the family of Krishna. Also, whenever devotees go to visit some temples, oftentimes the pujari has to give the offering to the deity, or do some yagya, or give some blessing. So they always ask, what is your gotra? So in India there are many gotras. Bharadvaja gotra, Vishwamitra gotra, Gautama gotra, so many gotras. So what is our gotra, you know? But actually, in the Bhagavatam and in other places it is described that we all belong to Achyuta Gotra. We are all family of Achyuta. And so in all the temples we just say Achyuta Gotra. Because they see, so you're a Vaishnava, and so he wants to do some yagya for you, something. So he says, do you have a Gotra or something? because he sees you coming. From West, so you say Achyuta Gotra. Oh yeah, Achyuta Gotra. That's correct. Okay, so many of them already know this. And they need to say this. Any questions?
Yes. What is Gotra?
Family. Or dynasty. Dynasty. Alright, so again, we can go through these. So the first two mantras describe the principle of seeing everything as belonging to Krishna. Ishavasya means God center, Krishna in the center. So the first mantra says be detached, take only your quota, and even to your quota don't be attached. And the second mantra says, even though you're detached, still act. You should act. And then you can be happy. So, and also gradually you develop from any level. Then the third, what happens if you neglect this principle of God-centeredness? You go to hell. Nothing pleasant. And then, who is this Isha? Two shlokas describing how he is really far out person. He walks and he doesn't walk, he's inside, he's outside. He's not just, because if he were some ordinary person, just like a very powerful demigod or something, then he cannot really be truly the center. Because he may be centered in some place, but he cannot reach everywhere. He cannot offer him anything from anywhere. He has no power to accept it, to protect you, to respond to you. So we need to understand that this Isha is transcendental. He's above matter. So to achieve this, Upanishad always give the opposites. He walks, he doesn't walk. He is inside, he's outside. To show that he's not a material thing, because these material things cannot be like that. He's transcendental. And 6 and 7, what happens if we know him? If we truly know him, then we see true oneness, therefore no navijugupsate, no hatred, no envy, enmity, things like this, and no illusion and anxiety. We see things as they are, as they truly are, and we are peaceful. Eventually, finally. We have to decide how do we meet tomorrow. Tomorrow, and I think we need Ananta Prabhu. Can somebody call you?
He said 9 o'clock. He started 9 o'clock in the morning.
Start at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Till 12:30.
Till 12:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have more lessons.
Uh-huh.
And we often have festival.
Okay. So we meet only once. Okay, so 9 till... Oh, so we have all the sessions tomorrow in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, so tomorrow we meet at 9, correct? There is no breakfast tomorrow, because Shiva's Thakur's appearance day. But then also, I wanted to talk to him about meeting on Saturday. I would like to have one more day. Is he busy now? Would you all be able to come on Saturday? Who cannot? Who? They're not here now either.
No, they are working.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Let's see. Any questions? If there are no questions, I want you to take 2 minutes and write down a few points from today's material that you actually want to remember. And in particular, something that we want to practice, something that I'm going to practice as I walked out of this room in the evening and also tomorrow. So something that we can practice in our daily life, something that we can take from these mantras of Sri Ishopanishad. Because Ishopanishad is eager to give us so many gifts. We have to decide which gifts are we taking. If you don't take any, then, you know, she may give, but we don't know what we will retain, what will remain. Share something that you wrote. Something you've written. Yes, Mario.
Yeah, I think it's good. You promised this in the beginning. You're talking about this car and these things, and actually, kind of more strongly understood. There is really no injustice. We are responsible. Everyone can be responsible for their own bits.
So practically tomorrow, what does it mean, or today, for you? I mean, as you walk out, you practice, how do you practice this understanding?
I was trying to blame others.
To blame others.
Okay.
To
understand.
Not blaming others. Okay. Something else?
First, that one irresponsibility is also dependency.
Yes.
So I can see this. Mm-hmm. So I will try to change. But then, as explained in the lecture, nice point that we are dependent. So actually, it's not many times I want to do. From now on, but then. Doesn't work. So I would try to be conscious of this, that I'm dependent, even if I want to change. I'm to pray for the mercy.
Something to pray for the mercy.
Yeah. To get out of this irresponsibility of the mind. The nice points I like how to see the soul. Actually it's giving the chance. Among the workers, to see the director we saw in
the chance.
Yeah. And I saw that he brought up his quality.
Yeah.
He had this quality. See.
Yeah, it's very attractive in advanced devotees.
And of course, time is the truth.
In other words, trying to wish good and do good. Yes? Yes. Yes. Well, that's a spiritual pattern. Trying to help them reconnect with Krishna. Okay, thank you. You have something? Mm-hmm.
Yes, related to that, what Vasudev said, that he wanted to do it up until now. We've seen that it's a gradual process.
We have to make steps. So it means that we may have to divide our efforts into small steps, but we have to make them.
As the Chinese say, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And in all kinds of managerial things, it is mentioned that very important skill is to break any test into smaller, very easily achievable tasks, bite size, one bite at a time. So what I would like you to do, please, whatever realizations or points you got out, please write them, rewrite them as practical things that I can do even tonight or tomorrow. What can I do? For example, not lose patience if I don't achieve something, or on the other hand, if I don't like something, don't blame others. See what I can do. How can I change myself to change the situation? And then the best thing would be to write just like a small program, just one or two points for myself, and say to myself that, for example, like there, I will not blame. So if I'm not if I'm dissatisfied, I will not blame anybody. I will see how I am responsible for this, or what I can do to improve the situation. And then try to practice this tomorrow or even tonight. Try to really do this 2 times, 3 times. Even if the situation does not present itself to practice something. You can even think about some situation where we could practice this. At least in our mind, we can try to practice these qualities. Or maybe we have some problems in, if we cannot practice it tonight or tomorrow, maybe we have some problems in yesterday or 1 month ago or 1 year ago where we were not happy. So we can think, how can we apply this to that situation to make it perfect, to make it harmonious? Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please accept my humble obeisance. Please read ahead. Please read ahead. Please read at least to verse 15. 15. Yes.
Tomorrow night.
Yes, it's a small book. Small pages.
I want to remember anything.
Memorize.
There's no breakfast.
Read till 15. Maybe we'll not cover 15, but read till 15. Or if you can, read till the end. At least till 15.
Thank you.